Hello, TSF family, and welcome to episode 10 of season 7 of This Spiritual Fix. Today we are talking about the Righteous Bully, which is the 8 in the Enneagram and the undefined Ajna Center. Enjoy! This spiritual fix. Two mystical mamas hacking the self-help game.
With Anna Stromquist
and Christina Wiltsie.
Hello, Christina Wiltsie. How are you?
I'm good, Anna Stromquist.
Oh, gosh.
Anna Fid.
Fiddler. So today you're going to teach us about the villain number 8, the Righteous Bully.
The Righteous Bully, also known as the Thanos villain.
Bully. I have to look up what Thanos looks like because I'm not that familiar with Marvel.
Okay, so...
Oh, he's the big...
He's the guy from Avengers Endgame and Infinity War.
And Josh Brolin. You know Josh Brolin lives here in Atlanta?
Does he?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think so because he's married to someone who lives in Atlanta. So I'm thinking that's... Anyways. Oh, so that's him. Oh my gosh, he looks so different in this movie.
He does. He's a big purple man. The thought of this one is, have you ever hurt someone just by being honest? I'm just being honest. I'm just telling you my opinion.
At least I'm honest.
Right. It represents the Ajna Center, which is the third eye. It is representative of the 8, which is the enforcer. Or the challenger. There's a lot of different words for it. Most people know that the 8 in the Enneagram, they're never going to pull any punches. They're just going to do whatever the fuck they want when they say. It's the representation of what I would say is a greater mother wound.
Mm-hmm.
We talked, if you guys go back to the mother wound, you'll see that there's like a human mother wound, which is the eternal child, and there's a greater mother wound, which is this one, which is the righteous bully. And, you know, this is the fact that it sits in the Ajna Center in human design is indicative of the fact that this is all about opinions. If you know a righteous bully, you know someone who is going to berate you with their opinion as if it is gospel. How they think about the world is the most important thing. An example of this, one of my favorite examples that I tell a lot about this, is that I had a friend who was very environmentally conscious, and he had a very strong opinion about single use anything. And I went into a restaurant with him, and I got a straw. And he told me later that the only reason that he hadn't berated me in public about getting the straw was because he thought that I did a lot of good work and therefore didn't deserve to be berated in public as a result of the fact that I had gotten a single-use straw. Because for him, the single-use straw was destroying the world, and therefore he couldn't stand it, but he like found some reason to like protect me from himself, as if he was the god of the environment and thus the enforcer of all things righteous with the environment.
What did you say to that? Were you just like shocked?
I was just shocked. I was shocked.
You were like, thanks. Or like, how do you respond to that?
I basically said, thanks. zealous, morally superior. They weaponize quote unquote truth. They use their opinion as the reason why something should be the case. They're going to let you know what their opinion is about something. And just so you know, they use a lot of triangulation tactics too, but they'll be like, just so you know, you don't come across as a very nice person, right? Big, huge blanket statements about their opinions and how their opinions are everything.
Are they the kind of people who they will like completely disown a friend if they knew who they voted for?
That's exactly
it. Didn't agree with it?
That's exactly it, right?
Is this injustice wound?
No. This is, it's funny because the divisive immortal would probably do the same thing. The divisive immortal is the injustice wound.
Okay.
The righteous bully is a greater mother wound, but it also has remnants of injustice. Yeah. And so this is also reminds me a lot of, I often think of the example of like we talk about, we're kind of mixing systems a little bit here, and we always associated injustice with someone very rigid about what they think is right and wrong. This is, again, this is an extension of that. So somebody who thinks that breeding, buying a bred dog, for instance, mm-hmm. is bad and is willing to destroy you over it, over their opinion about it.
Right.
And think that they are morally superior and righteous to you. That is the righteous bully.
And right? They don't even have a dog. Anyways.
Exactly.
So they're not even taking care of any dog.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean,
that would be an example. That would be an example of what this looks like. Okay, so coming down from the righteous bully, which is, I'll give an example of Thanos and why Thanos is actually the one who's doing this. For anybody who's watched Avengers Endgame and Infinity Wars, you may know about this, but Thanos was from Titan, and people on Titan didn't listen to his opinion, and the world got destroyed. And ever since his world was destroyed, he basically came up with the plan, the opinion, and what he thinks is the truth, which is that half the universe needed to be blinked out of existence because it was overpopulated, right? And so his whole thing was about overpopulation and about the fact that he thought that the best solution for that was destroying half the world. And so he went to great lengths and succeeded in blinking out half of the world for 5 years, or half the universe, excuse me, and for 5 years, all the life in the universe, you know, only to discover that it didn't actually work that well, and everyone was just obsessed with everyone else coming back. It was like, no matter whatever he thought was, like, why did he think that was the solution?
Was to get rid of life?
Would to get rid of half of life. Like, all you're doing is delaying the inevitable. It's just going to get doubled again anytime soon. You know what I mean? Like, it was such
so
a...
one in two people died.
One in two people, anything. All biological, all of biology, anything that was alive, half of it was killed in an instant as soon as he snapped his fingers. Again, it was his opinion about what was going to fix the world because he didn't want to repeat the trauma that he had experienced when his planet died. So that's the reason that Thanos is the one that is associated with this.
Did the people come back?
Did the people come back? Yes. 5 years after it is called the blip. They came back 5 years after the fact.
And did they have a memory of where they were?
They did, which is one of the things he realized that he messed up, is that he should never have helped. When he did that, he should have made them forget who had gotten blipped out. Right. Okay, so that is the righteous bully, which is the most extreme version.
They're the most horrible people to argue with, too.
Oh, they're awful. They're going to use every awful tactic possible.
And in the end, they'll never change their mind anyways. I just don't bother arguing with those people. It's a waste of breath.
Right. The successful antagonist of this is the fixer. And you guys have met this person. This person is the one who thinks that they're going to tell you how to fix everything in your life. And then they're going to get pissed when you don't listen to them and something goes wrong.
Ooh, I have a touch of that.
They're going to just be like, I have an opinion about how you can fix these things and we're better. I think that may naturally be your projector thing, is that you can see things clearly. The trick is that you have to be invited into it.
You're romanticizing me. I'm actually just a bossy know-it-all who loves to say, I told you so.
That's it. The fixer is the quintessential I told you so. I told you that this was going to happen. Why did you do it again? I went to all this trouble to think about your life and fix it. So why didn't you listen to me?
Right.
All right. So the wound.
That's me.
There's probably a level of you that has this. Yeah. So the wounded child of this is the pathogen. This was in honor of somebody I worked with who experienced this. The pathogen is the person who feels as if they're responsible for everything. They were blamed for everything when they were younger.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah. And they were basically experienced the perpetrator fallacy that we've talked about in the past. And so that's one of the reasons that they come out fighting, is because people actively blamed them for everything.
That's so sad. Like, why have a kid if you're just going to blame it for stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is that they may be more blunt than other people, or they may be, they may have a tactic that's not great, but that also doesn't make them fully responsible. Everyone is responsible for where they're showing up on any of these arcs, and they're responsible for moving themselves into a more self-loving place. The covert of this is the sacrificial. You will have heard this if you are the type of person who is in a work group, like a project, and you like imagine being at work or in like a group project at school, and there were two people who had two very different opinions about something. Okay. And there was a one person who was like, we absolutely have to do it this way. They were being like in the more active righteous bully, like, we are gonna do this. This is the only way we can do this. And they're gonna put really strong opinions. And then there's the other person who has the strong opinion, and they're just like, I don't want to fight. And so they will sacrifice their opinion, even if they are right, technically, because they don't want to get in a fight with somebody who's exerting more strength in the argument. So they're going to sacrifice their opinion, even if their opinion is actually valid.
And that's the rescuer version of this?
Yes, exactly. They're trying to make peace. So you see how they're trying to rescue themselves. They're trying to rescue the group. And they basically will sacrifice themselves in the process of doing that.
It doesn't sound like very much like a bully, but it's a bully to themselves.
Well, see, that's the thing. The thing is that the arc is the righteous bully, but it shows up in so many different ways. That's the whole idea of it, right? Because if somebody shows up and they're constantly sacrificing their opinion, you might go up to them and be like, oh, I'm so sorry you're doing this. Like, I'm so sorry you're whatever. But actually, in their worst form, or they grew up with a righteous bully, and they can't get out of the arc until they actually recognize what arc they're in. Do you see what I'm trying to say? That's why each of the subtypes of the villains are so different, because they're meant to cast a wide net. The faster you identify your arc, the easier it is for you to actually do your shadow work.
Okay, so let's say, for example, you're in the group project with a righteous bully.
Yep.
And you see that they're fixed and you're not going to get their way, and you decide to... What are some other options that would make you not
sacrifice?
Yeah.
So what I would say would be the thing, the hero of this arc is the surrendered. And everyone's like, well, what's the difference between the sacrifice and the surrendered? The surrendered is the one who's basically committed to something that is greater than themselves. And this is like a little bit of a hard nuance. Again, this is a complex villain. It's a combination of the one and the two, which is the obedient critic and the vengeful martyr. Both of those, if you find yourself like, am I a one, am I a two, that you're very likely a righteous bully instead. And so the sacrificial is willingly sacrificing themselves all the time, and they see what they're doing as a sacrifice. The surrendered has accepted their commitment to whatever it is that they're saying. They're gonna surrender to whatever it is that they feel is the correct thing to do. They're gonna surrender their opinion. They're gonna align with what feels like it's in the space. Another way of saying this is, it's the difference between thinking you're sacrificing yourself and willingly committing and aligning with a greater coherence in the group. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I feel like you could potentially gaslight yourself into swallowing your needs or swallowing your voice in the name of this. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do, and that's the really nuanced part.
Yeah, it'd be really hard to know. Like, how would you know that you've actually grown, or versus just trying to not stir the pot?
Right. Okay. So the way that I would say that you're eventually going to be the channeler, right? The legend of this arc is the channeler, and the reason that. Because if you think about what's happening, the righteous bully holds their own opinion as the most important thing. The channeler is using their body to effectively channel greater wisdom, right? And you can see how those could get really, really messy. Because if someone isn't a responsible channel, they can be like, well, this is what I hate about so much New Age stuff, is when somebody's like, I am channeling a higher power that's telling you to, that you need to go and, you know, do something awful to yourself. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm trying to say? It's like,
maybe it's the feeling you get. It's like, do you feel inspired and lighter doing it, or do you feel heavy?
That's
and downtrodden.
Yeah. Yep. And that's the true act of surrender, is that you actually feel
elation
and allied and inspired as a result of it.
I think it's the vibration you probably feel in your body.
Yep. And that you've relinquished your need to have your opinion be heard, or either sacrifice your opinion or use your opinion or use your brain. Like you've stopped your attachment to the fact that what you think is the most important thing. That's what it's ultimately about being the surrendered. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is the universe of vision, and it is a funny antisocial disorder is actually the pathology associated with this one.
Quick question: what is the thing, the impetus that will turn your rotation around? Like for one, it was the one before this, it was presence. For someone else, it was death.
So this is the surrendered. Okay, so that's what we're talking about. Surrender is that place where you're just letting something greater come into you,
okay,
and you're relinquishing your need to have your opinion either be sacrificed or be heard, and that it has to be, that is the solution.
Okay.
Is right. You surrender this like attachment that you have to your opinion.
And then what's my major villain? Darth Vader. So what's my vehicle?
Your vehicle is the selfish. It's finding
It's to
be selfish.
Really good prescription.
Yeah. It's to basically,
it's harder than it looks for a Darth Vader, but I like it.
It's all about understanding that the give and take has to have a take. You cannot have the give without the take.
Yeah.
Right? And you have to do that continually. You can't do this in these big, chunky, messy things. You have to do it every day, all the time.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. Like me taking a nap today. That was me.
That's exactly what you need to do.
Okay.
All right. So righteous bully, we have a, am I the asshole?
Am I the asshole for blowing up a friend group over someone's low vibe relationship? I, 28 female, and my fiance, 36 male, are planning our wedding. And last night he accused me of being, quote, greedy and rude. Background? I come from a wealthy family and have worked hard to manage my finances responsibly. My father has given each daughter $120,000 for their wedding. My sisters used all of it on their weddings, but I asked to use $70,000 for the wedding, $10,000 for a honeymoon, and saving $40,000 to help with future children's expenses. My dad agreed to this plan, but only if I can make the wedding work with that budget. Oh my gosh. It feels fake. Like, can you do a wedding for only $70,000? I don't know. This just feels kind of fake.
I know.
Okay. But they might be living a different life in a different world, and they have different things they have to do. So, okay. I don't want to be a judgy person here. I didn't make this decision lightly. When I first got engaged 5 months ago, I considered using the full amount for a European wedding, but I realized I didn't want to prioritize that. A wedding is one day, and securing our future financial stability seemed more important. My fiance has been patient, but has accused me of delaying the wedding due to indecisiveness, though I'm just overwhelmed by spending so much on one day and managing everything else. Last night, I asked him to help review venues for a tour we're doing Monday. He rushed through options, and I started to cry from stress. I also wanted to vet the venue's prices before booking, but this frustrated him. He said I was rude for not wanting to use all the money for a wedding he would love, claiming that going over budget was fine because this was our most important day. He always dreamed of a grand wedding with lots of guests. He criticized the venue I liked, an old library that only seats 180 and fits our budget. He says I was being rude by limiting my guest list to 60 people so he could invite 120 of his family. He also accused me of being greedy for wanting to save the leftover money and said I looked like I was hoarding it. He argued that since we are financially well off, I shouldn't worry about saving for future children. He also mentioned that our wedding planner had supposedly said I was being greedy, though he later admitted to making that up to show me how rude I was being. I thought I was being fiscally responsible by saving the extra money, but now I'm questioning if I made the right decision. Am I the asshole?
I mean, so there's a...
She has made a bad decision.
By choosing him. Yeah, well, I mean, but it's interesting because in this, you can see he has some eternal child aspects, but he is using his opinion to, and his opinion of her being greedy and rude, and he's basically trying to destroy her with his opinion about what this is supposed to be. He's not trying to reason with her in any reasonable way. He's not trying to do anything along those lines. He's effectively bullying her into trying to do what he wants. The righteousness is a little bit less obvious in this one, you know, but it does seem as if there's a natural tendency for it to be righteous. And then whereas she is probably acting very much so like an obedient critic, right? Like where she's just like, she's setting rules. She's like, I want to be fiscally responsible. She's kind of following that more perfectionist perspective.
The obedient critic is the nurse Ratchet?
Yeah. Yes, yeah, Nurse Ratched.
Okay.
Yeah. Anna took the course, so she always goes back to the actual, like, colloquial names that we do.
Am I doing that wrong, then?
No, that's right. It's fine. It's just I mostly have been calling them vein controller and stuff like that as I'm trying to kind of be fluid with how I talk about it. But, yeah, that's good. So that is the righteous bully. Any other questions?
Am I the asshole for not letting my mother-in-law come over after she destroyed my millennial Falcon Lego set? I, 38, male, live with my wife, 37, female, and our 7-year-old son. I work as an engineer. My wife is a senior supervisor at a law firm. I've always loved Lego since I was a kid, and sure, it's kind of childish, but it makes me happy, so I've kept it as a consistent hobby throughout my adult life. In 2024, I spent months building the millennial Falcon with my son. It's me and my son's pride and joy, and I often show guests who come over. My wife doesn't really get on the hype, but she doesn't mind it either. I mean, I wouldn't understand it either, but the fact that my husband and my child put something together that complicated, that's amazing.
Yeah.
In early March, my wife's parents came over for a week to spend time with us. As I usually do with guests, I asked if they'd like to see my Lego collection. They agreed, and I showed both my father and mother my Millennial Falcon. His father was amazed at the time it took me to build my sizable collection, but her mother said that it was a waste of my time and that I should be focused on being a real man and move up the corporate ladder. I laughed it off because she's pretty old, and I figured she just held very old-fashioned beliefs. We left the room and nobody really mentioned it for a few hours, but at dinner, her mother said out of nowhere that I should give up on all this Lego nonsense and be a real man. We ignored this and moved on, but you could see in her expression she was not happy. Nobody said anything about it for the rest of their stay, and all seemed well the morning they left. They had to leave at 3 a.m. to catch a flight, and we waved them off. I went back to bed, but the next morning awoke to find my Millennial Falcon smashed to pieces with a note from my wife's mother calmly saying that this was for my own good, so I should be a real man and focus on what matters. It turns out she had quietly destroyed it in the night and left it in the morning. Me and especially my son were very upset. I called her in the morning, but she refused to apologize. I said that until she apologized, they would not be welcome back again. My wife is not happy with my decision on this matter, and I honestly am starting to wonder if I overreacted. Did I go overboard, or am I in the right? Wow. And I'm going to just Google Millennial Falcon Legos, because I have a feeling this is like, my gosh.
$500 set, isn't it?
It's $850, and it looks...
Yeah.
It looks so hard to make.
Yep.
I mean, this looks incredible. That would take so much patience and time. It's incredible.
Yeah. It's got 5,000 pieces. That's the thing. Okay, so this is one of those situations where he may be being... honestly, I feel like he's a little bit of an evasive expert / eternal child. He's kind of accessing both a little bit, but that doesn't matter because... you know, it's cute. It's endearing. Like, it's not harming anything. And she obviously believes that he needs to grow up, and she's willing to destroy something that he loves in order to be able to make her point.
Well, like, two times he talked about laughing at her opinion, which, yes, her opinion was rude, but him laughing at her kind of reminds me of, like, the way that some people will dismiss and just laugh at old, senile, crazy women, you know? Like,
that's true. Yeah.
Like, I'm not siding with what she did. What she did was really wrong, but I think that he laughed at her like, oh, she's just an old-fashioned lady, you know, she doesn't know anything. That, I mean, I felt like there was some condescension in that, and that he kept laughing at her.
Yeah.
And then he said that he doesn't want them back in the house until he apologizes, but the truth is, it's his wife's house too, and I don't think he can make a unilateral decision that affects both of them. Like, he's totally...
So he's resonating on the righteous bully as well.
I kind of feel like
yeah.
Like, if they're going to be in the house, me and my son are not going to be present until they apologize to us. I feel like he's imposing this thing on his wife too.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think it's a very insightful point, is that, like,
he was dismissive of the mom's concerns, which they were bad concerns, but he laughed at her.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
And I think that fueled her bullying.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Saw her as the pathogen.
But so you're going to marry someone like your parents. So it always makes sense that there's two of these things.
Exactly. And that's where it makes sense that, like, if somebody's resonating on something, there's a good chance you're resonating on it as well.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, he sees himself as, you know... he is ultimately, by kicking her out of the house, he's basically giving her the same miss, and where he's being righteous.
Right.
And also bullying her by saying that she can't come to the house anymore. It's a very good point.
I mean, I don't know. I just...
It's a good point,
I feel like if you both live there, then you both need to agree on who's allowed in and out of the house.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree entirely. I think that that's the essence of it, right? Is that, yeah, that his wife probably married a man who may be similar to her father or her mother. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah.
And I don't know what the solution is. And I'm not saying I do. I'm just noticing that
there's a lack of consideration for her. Yeah. It's a good point. Cool. Thanks, Anna.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of This Spiritual Fix. If you are interested in finding out what your primary inner villain is, you can go to www.christinawiltse.com to take the test that is linked. That's KristinaWiltse.com. Thanks, y'all. And remember,
humility, gratitude, acceptance, done.
Hello, TSF family. We wanted to start off by saying thank you. Thank you for listening to this podcast and for your hard work to love yourself more and for your feedback.
Can you believe it's been 3 years that we've been doing This Spiritual Fix, and it has been such a beautiful labor of love for Anna and me.
We have loved doing this work. We've loved hearing from you, and we love exploring ourselves and each other alongside our listeners.
We wanted to put out the call for 3 ways that you can help support us to support you.
1, we would love you to leave us a review on iTunes or follow us on Spotify.
2, drop us an email and let us know how much the podcast means to you.
And 3, you can donate monthly or even just once to our PayPal patronage.
Every little bit helps, and we are so grateful to those of you who have donated already. Thank you.
You help make this podcast possible.
Thanks, y'all. You can go to our website, www.thisspiritualfix.com, for information on how to pledge as well as to email us. Hi, y'all. Christina from TSF here, This Spiritual Fix. I wanted to invite you to my Substack, where we are about to start a series on the inner villains, the parts of us that sabotage, control, or quietly hide when things get hard. These upcoming posts will walk you through how to recognize them, work with them, and eventually transform them. They're going to be a wonderful complement to what we're hearing here on TSF. And if you are a paid subscriber, you'll also get a new meditation each month to support that integration. You can find it all at ChristinaWiltse.substack.com or search The Life Alchemist. Thanks, y'all.